Should we say it together on the count of three and say Happy New Year?
Yes.
Yeah, ready? Okay, one, two, three.
Happy New Year!
Yep, 2021 Woo! Has finally come around.
Thank
and
goodness.
We are back
that
with
baby.
More of Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to Nullpois, the Eurovision fan podcast by myself, Laura, and Martin over there as well. We're from
the
UK. Hello, hello, indeed. We're from the UK. We love Eurovision. We don't know everything about it, but this podcast is dedicated to finding out a bit more about what the Eurovision is all about, speaking to its biggest fans, YouTubers, the people that blog about it, the people that take part in it, all those kind of people. We interview all those people. We have a little bit of a chat and a laugh about the latest news as well. As you'll notice, we don't always take ourselves very seriously on this podcast, but that's the essence of Eurovision.
Because we can't.
Because no one should take us seriously. But that's the essence of Eurovision anyway, isn't it? Not, you know, taking things too seriously, doing it well, but not taking it too seriously. And I think that's what we do here on Nullpois. So welcome.
Welcome indeed. Now, how was your Christmas? Because we haven't spoken. We had a little break over the Christmas and New Year period. So how was your Christmas?
Yeah, it was great, actually. I mean, you know, as great as it can be during these times, really. I still got to see some family, so that was really nice. On New Year's Eve, I just got quite drunk with my housemate, so that was nice in its own way. Sorry, Matt.
We're apologising for now. But,
well, just general drunkenness.
Oh, I see.
Nothing weird. Yeah, so it was good. How about yourself?
It was very nice. I mean, I've been a support bubble with my parents, and I've been here for the entire holidays, really. I've been here the whole time. I've got some of my presents just with me here. So, you know you're really getting on in life when you get presents like this. I've got a car air pump.
Oh, lovely.
And, what else have we got? We've got some nestable food storers, so some Tupperware.
Oh, Tupperware boxes. Lovely.
And Dunkirk on Blu-ray. I don't own a Blu-ray player.
Oh.
So that's all going to be very good.
Excellent. Well, of course, I got my Dardy Freer Christmas jumper, my custom-made green jumper of myself, of my
of
face.
Of course you did. And you got that in sort of September, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I got it quite early just because it's shipping from Iceland. So I thought, you know, get it before Christmas actually came. So I've just been wearing that, to be honest. But yeah, lovely. And we had our best month ever.
We won't go into
too many details, but we had it. So thank you, everyone, you know, who clearly really enjoyed our Christmas quiz.
Or at least listened to it. So
Or at least listened. It doesn't mean they enjoyed it. Yes, that's true.
So thank you very much. Anyway, look, we're rambling on. Lots to come in this podcast. We're going to take a bit of a look at what we hope, what we expect, what we think might well happen in 2021. There's a bit of news out. I'm going to take you through a series of tweets by Jedward. More on that later. And of course, we will return with another edition of Trivia Time, where we give you some information about Eurovision's gone by that'll probably make you laugh. So all of that on the way.
First, though, I think it's a time for some non-news of the week, Martin.
Oh, it is. And I tell you, I would do the thing. I don't have the keyboard.
Well, you could just make a little
set.
Do you want to just make a little noise? There we go.
News of the week.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Yeah, that was good enough, I guess. And this is about the Eurovision Top 250 countdown. It happens every year. And then they reveal the results, is where fans pick their favourite 250 entries from the country's from the contest history. And then it's broadcast throughout the day. And surprise, surprise, Loreen Euphoria won again. It's won every year for the past I don't know how many years. And it never loses. It's always the top one. Why they even bother to like count down now, I don't know, but yeah, it's every year it wins, so it's completely unsurprising. There you go, Loreen Euphoria won again.
Well done. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a very good song. I think I said this last year
when it also won.
I think I said this, and I will say it again, I personally think that they should be looking a little bit older for the best Eurovision songs of all time. Loreen, Euphoria, great song. I would, like I said last year, go with Waterloo by ABBA. Surely that's a better song.
It's interesting. All the top 10 actually have all been in the past 10 years. There's not one that's been. We've got Fuego, Duncan Lawrence Arcade. ABBA creeps in at 19. So it just it makes the top 20. But, and I think it's Secret Garden Nocturne 1995, Norway's in at 12. And I think nearly all the others are all from 2000. So the past sort of 20 years, basically, are the main ones. So, yeah, it's not many of the older ones. So I guess that kind of makes sense with maybe the audience that's voting for it. But, yeah, Loreen, will anything ever top Loreen Euphoria? I don't think it will. Be very, what a day that'll be.
Now, I thought we might, on this bit of the podcast, or on this podcast anyway, take a look forward, because we've done a lot of looking back at what didn't happen in 2020, but it's full steam ahead now for the contest in May of this year, 2021. And there's a few things that we know is going to happen, there's a few things we think might happen, and there's a few things we're looking forward to. Let's start with the fact that we know Eurovision is going to happen in one form or another. When you turn on your TV on that day in May, you will see Eurovision on it. It will happen. But what will it look like? That's been the big question of the last few months. And Cress, there's been a little bit more news about that recently.
That's right. So it sounds like, as you said, there are these four sort of ways they can go about hosting Eurovision this year. One of them is just to have a normal Eurovision. The other one is to have a socially distanced audience. The other is to not have an audience at all. And the final one is basically like they did for Junior Eurovision. Everyone sort of do it from their own countries and no one actually travels there. Now, it sounds like we're going to be getting a decision for the format of the contest around February time. That's sort of what people have been saying on all the Eurovision blogs and things like that. That makes sense, because that's enough time to prepare for whatever option it is. That, you know, that it can't be like they did last time where we were still waiting on for quite close. I can't remember when it was they actually made the decision, but it was fairly close up to the competition, because obviously it all just started happening in March properly across Europe. I think that it'll be interesting to what are you thinking they're going for at this point, Martin? Are your thoughts?
I mean, we talked about this many times before, and I plumped for the fact that I thought they were going to do option B, which is the one step down from doing it normally. So they were going to run the contest essentially as normal, but the audience would be more spread out. So it would be a sort of an event in person where everyone's there, but socially distanced. Now, have I changed my mind? The thing that's maybe talking me away from that is the fact that they're making this decision in February, if that is indeed what they do. Because how much of a punt are they willing to take on what the situation in May will be like in February? Because we know we've got this big rollout of the vaccine right across Europe. Are they willing to sort of go, we think that the situation come May will be a lot better than it is in February? Or are they going to go with, well, what's it looking like now? Let's make a decision based on that. If they do that, I think they're going to have to go with option, maybe even option D, the worst one, or C or D. If they're a little bit optimistic, they might plump for B or C.
For me, I think it's going to be C or D. I can't see it being B anymore. And we should explain, B is the one which is a socially distanced audience. So fewer audience members and all socially distanced, whereas C is no audience, but the acts do actually travel to the country. I can only see it being C and D, I think. But I always was the more pessimistic one of the two.
You were...
realistic, some would say.
I'm unfortunately having to maybe adjust my level of optimism based on this news, or at least the rumour that this decision in February is going to be taken. I'm still hopeful. They could take a punt. They could say, look, we're going to allow an audience if we can at the time. And we'll plan for being able to allow audience, and then we'll have to sort of take it away at the last minute if we have to. They could do that,
I suppose, because the main thing is the actual performances. The audience is possibly a little bit easier to organise later to the time, but it's really the performances and you know, whether everyone's going to have to travel or not is the main. So, you know, they need to know if it's going to be C or D. I guess they just... I suppose the worry is they don't want to have to do a U-turn and announce that, you know, oh, we're going to do socially distanced audience and then closer to the time have to then cancel all of that. And then there's all the issues of cancelling that. So it might put them in better stead to be a bit more pessimistic, unfortunately, for this year. But yeah, very interesting to see what's going to happen with that. And hopefully it's we will still have a Eurovision. That's the one positive we can hold on to for 2021.
Absolutely. So that is a thing that's definitely happening. How it's happening, we don't know. What other things then are you hearing about what's going to be going on in 2021? Yes, Eurovision wise,
the little gossip. So some interesting news about the UK's entry, because interesting, you know, we've not heard really, the BBC have not really said much about what's going on in terms of who they're taking. Obviously some have chosen to take the artists that they're taking next year, like, for example, we know Dardy is going again for next year, but we don't know if James Newman is going to be going again for the BBC for the UK, in fact. But interestingly enough, I don't know if you watch any of RuPaul's Drag Race UK, Martin?
I've seen it.
Yeah,
I have seen it, and I think that's as far as I can go with that.
All right then, he's seen it.
Saw it once, and that was it.
Okay. Well, so you probably won't know then that in, because there's only one series of it, the UK version is excellent. I would say do watch it. It's great fun. It was a lot sort of dirtier than the US version, which is quite funny. It's just a lot more people sort of being like, you slag, and all this kind of stuff. I was like, yes, come on, UK. It's quite funny. Like the US one is so much more polished, and the UK one is just like everyone swearing and being like, wah. But it was just wonderful. But basically, one of the episodes, they had to like split into two teams, and they were like had to do like a little song, and basically they formed this band called the Frock Destroyers, which is made up of three drag queens: Bag of Chips, Blue Hydrangea, and Davina DeCampo.
Oh, I've heard of Bag of Chips.
Yeah, a lot of people know Bag of Chips now. Yeah. So basically, this trio, they performed a song. They've now like taken it further. They're like releasing other songs as well. So they performed on the BBC special Big New Year's In with Paddy McGuinness, and they did like some pop hits, and Paddy asked them what their plans were for 2021, and Davina DeCampo sort of says, well, fingers crossed, all being well, we'll be on a world tour with Frock for Life, and who knows, maybe Eurovision. And so, yeah, and leaves it there. Now, this might just be wishful thinking from their part, and maybe they're just thinking, if we keep saying Eurovision, maybe the BBC would consider it, because I don't feel there's been any word from the BBC themselves that they're looking at the Frock Destroyers, that this is what they're considering.
It's a good idea, though, isn't it?
Well,
it's a really good idea.
I don't know, Martin.
Oh, I think it is. I think it's a genius idea.
I don't know, though, because do we want to once again present ourselves as this kind of novelty thing? Rather, if they can bring like a proper dance number, you know, like Sweden would do, I don't know. I'm just a bit worried it's putting us again in that sort of haha novelty Daz Samson category where it's a bit
I disagree. Now I suppose the difference here is I'm speaking from a position of somebody who hasn't seen them perform.
Yeah,
but if they can pull off something that's genuinely quite good,
it's
song is genuinely good, if it's a catchy song, they have that novelty factor, and they already have an online profile, and that will stand them in really good stead. The UK version of Drag Race is seen around the world, and I think it's a clever idea.
I would worry that it would go too in jokey, and the actual wider Eurovision would be a bit like, what is this? What's going on? So I'm just not sure. I don't know. And Davina DeCampo can sing very well. She was on The Voice and she was excellent. But I'm just not sure about the others, whether it would be taken, it would be, if it's made too much like, this is all a joke for us and we don't really care. That's what I don't want. I want it to be a proper a proper song, you know, if it you know, because like Dardy has done it, his was a sort of jokey song, but it was actually a really good song. So that's what it would need for me. But interesting. I mean, poor old James Newman, if they're just sort of saying this.
So, he's left out of the cold.
He's like, wait a minute. But an online petition has been set up earlier than this, than they're mentioning this, to support the Frot Destroyers for Eurovision 2020. It's gained over 10,000 signatures. So, you know, not as... And enough people are interested in the idea, but as we said, the BBC hasn't said anything. Bit unusual. They, you know, normally they're mentioning things in the autumn time, but I guess, you know, there's been a lot going on. They've had a lot to deal with, so who knows? Will it be James Newman with a different song, or possibly the Frock Destroyers?
Interesting. So there you go, a few little ideas of stuff to happen in 2021. And whilst we're mentioning possible acts for Eurovision this year, let's turn our attention to Ireland. And of course, Jedward has previously represented Ireland. And
Twice,
getting to the final once, I think I'm right in saying. And they're very, very popular amongst the kind of Eurovision hardcore fans. And they've been tweeting over the last sort of 24 hours or so. And I thought I'd bring you the little story of the tweets that they've been putting out, because they raise some good questions and they also have a few answers as well. So see what you make of this. So the first tweet that I noticed was, so now that the UK's left Europe, will they still be in Eurovision? Asking for a friend. Now, we, Jedward, we can answer this question for you. We're not representatives of the UK government or the BBC, but we can answer this question for you.
Yes, the UK will, of course, still be in Eurovision. Jedward, why don't you know this? Because, of course, it's got nothing to do with being in Europe. It's all part of being part of the EBU, the Europe Broadcasting Union. And, as long as you're part of that. Because otherwise... Obviously, Australia are in it.
And do you know what? Australia aren't even an actual member of the EBU. And they're also in it. They're an affiliate member. So basically, you don't have to be a member of anything, really.
You just
have to make enough noise and then you're in, or pay him enough money. So there you go. Yeah. That's that question answered for you there, Jedward. Here comes the second tweet. FYI, we have submitted songs to represent Ireland this year in Eurovision. It's in the hands of RTE now. So Jedward have put forward songs to the Irish broadcaster, which means presumably they're being considered by RTE. So could we see Jedward going for a third run at Eurovision? And what do you think about that as an idea?
I mean, their last one they did, The Waterline, was awful, Martin. It was a terrible song.
Lipstick was good.
Yeah, Lipstick was, well, good in all the wrong ways, but yeah.
It
was terrible. No, yeah, I don't know. I wonder if they're just doing a Frock Destroyers here and just madly submitting and being like, yeah, we'll do it. And like, the RTE have given no sign at all that they're interested in it. And they're just, is it that thing, you know, like where you talk about yourself enough doing something that people think you're doing it, and so you just get added onto it just by luck? I'm kind of wondering if that's what's going on.
It smacks a little of desperation, which is kind of summed up in their final tweet on the subject. In these unprecedented times, we volunteer as tribute to be standby act for all countries in Eurovision.
Yes.
All we ask for is spectacular pyro, hairspray and sequins.
Well, bless them.
If they're not representing Ireland, they're representing everyone. They'll do every person's, every country's they will be.
I would love to see Jedward do a rendition of everybody at the Eurovision Song Contest. You know, like just dress up, do different. Jedward, if you want to do that, do your own version. Do your Jedward Vision Song Contest.
Mm.
That's what they should do. They just do their own version and they'd play every act. I'd watch that.
Yeah, I would watch the start of it, certainly. and then I'd reconsider
like,
my life, I think.
No,
yeah.
What am I doing? Hey, Martin.
Hey, Cresso.
Guess what time it is? Strange reply. You're feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm feeling all right. I don't know. What time is it?
It's trivia time!
Oh my goodness me, another round of nonsense, useless facts.
Hooray!
All in the name of Eurovision fun. What you got?
Yeah, as you said, this is where we pick up some trivia throughout Eurovision's history, normally the balmiest stuff, and then there's quite a lot of that to go around, to be fair. And this is from 1962, where they were, guess what, Martin? They were plagued once again by technical difficulties. What's more, that's basically all our trivia time ever is just technical difficulties.
Is there something about that suggests that I'm really looking forward to a 2021 yeah. Eurovision where everyone's contributing from their own country?
Oh god,
that's
yeah.
gonna go great.
Oh my god, yes, I can't wait for that. Way back in 1962 it was going on as well. Basically, a series of power cuts and technical glitches disrupted that year's Eurovision. It left the Dutch feeling, I think, particularly hard done by. The stage was in Luxembourg. It was decorated with twinkling stars for their set, but problems with the lighting frequently blacked them out altogether. Immediately after the French entry, the picture from Luxembourg was lost. It was restored, so that's something. That's
good. Yeah.
But as I said, the greatest misfortune. So they've already had some power cuts going on throughout the whole performance. The Dutch male singing duo Die Spelbrekers. Unfortunately, their performance was seen largely in negative.
I don't know why I find that so funny, but it is, isn't it?
Apparently, the pair were sort of wild-eyed at the best of times, but in negative, they looked like a couple of grave diggers. It didn't do them any favours. There was another new voting system in place as well for 1 year only. It got changed after this 1 year. They were one of four nations to finish with no point, which I think is very unfair that, like, lighting issues meant that they had finished with no points at all. But there you go. So their whole song was just in negative.
You couldn't make it up. Only on the Eurovision would that sort of stuff happen. And we all just love it. Well, thank you very much, Cress, for that edition of...
Trivia Time!
And that pretty much brings us to the end of the podcast and our very first podcast of 2021. Thank you so much for your company. Thank you for continuing to listen. We very much appreciate it. And hey, do you fancy getting into do you fancy getting in touch with us here at Null Point, having your thoughts read out? Well, go on then. And here's how you do it.
Okay. Yes. And also, by the way, if you are enjoying this, subscribe to it so you can get, because we don't do regularity. So these episodes come out when we can manage it. So you will need to subscribe to get the alerts to know when they're out. Otherwise, you'll miss them. You're going to miss them. Mm. So do subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. And just because it helps the podcast get seen a bit more. And we want more people to listen to our delicious ramblings. So we are on Twitter, @Null. We're on Instagram, Nullpoint Podcast, and we are also on email. Well, we're on email. You can just email us. It's Nullpoint. We're on email.
Are we online?
Yes, we're online.
We're on the line, and we're on the email.
We're on the wagon. It's nullpointpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email and let us know your predictions for Eurovision 2021. How is it going to be staged, and what are you going to? Are you hoping to go? Because we're hoping to go, aren't we, Martin?
We are hoping to go. And I think, I mean, obviously it depends what restrictions are in place, but we are hoping to go regardless of whether it's on or not.
Yes,
because we paid for the ferry.
Yes, that ferry, very important point. But obviously a point to add there, obviously we'd only be going if legally we are allowed to go.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
We're not like, no, we're going because of the ferry. No, obviously only if we're allowed.
Yes. Anyway, on that point of legality, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on Null Point.
Bye.